Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Every bedroom, every little nook and cranny, under the house, in the house, on the house, wherever, in the backyard, up in the back shed, I'm allowed to look in there. What a privilege. And I take the presence of God in. On purpose on that. It's on purpose. I had this tremendous opportunity to speak to a lady next door to your place, Dawn, number 14. And I won't say their names, but I want to pray for her today. He meets me at the door and does the normal thing, come on through. And I say, thank you very much. She said, my wife has got cancer. And she's in the front room. So I get to see it all. Anyway, she's there and she's actually quite chirpy, which is great. And I'm there and I felt to leave her for a while and just do what I normally would do, go through. And I just prayed all the way through the house. Anyway, Vic was his name. It was easy to remember. I know a Vic, and we all know a Vic, and it's a victorious name. But he said, I've got to go out. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. It left me and her in the house. Anyway, he took off. I was there. Anyway, I'd finished my inspection, and I came to her. And I don't know, I just started talking to her. And one thing led to another. She said, I didn't even know I had cancer. And this was 6 months ago now. The doctor said that I had 2 weeks to live, but I told him to go jump. Anyway, she said, I am not going to have the family, this was just before Christmas, I'm not going to have the family remember me and me dying before Christmas every Christmas time. So there was a determination inside of this lady. Anyway, I said to her, and I just introduced myself a little bit and we got chatting about stuff I won't get into, but I said, I said, you obviously have a faith then. And she said, yes, I do. And I said, you know, we don't have to be all super spiritual when it comes to things, situations like this. I just felt God say, I'm going to pray for you that the best years are to come in your life. And I just started speaking positive words. Positive words. Oh, come on, over her. And I said, we're going to pray for you as a church. Would you please help me pray this morning? Would you stand? And I more than want to see this person well. Now, if you're in a situation where you have a sickness right now, I'm going to pray for not just for her, but for us as well, that God would heal every terminal illness. In fact, I thank you, God, right now. It's by your stripes we are healed. And I thank you, God, this morning that it's not by might, not by power, but by your spirit. And I thank you, God, right now, every person in this place, in this church, my friend up north, I speak healing and full, complete restoration in Jesus' name. And may the stone that hits this pond ripple out into the community. May it ripple back through our own family, through our friends and family, people that we would know, and may it ripple out, even out, way out there. Wherever this video might go, may it go right out there too. May there be healing testimonies coming from every place on the planet, because a people were determined enough and were bold enough to pray and to believe that the Bible is true, that Jesus is real, that his healing is for us today. And I thank you, God, right now, may there be healing testimony in this place and beyond today, in your precious name. Amen. You can be seated. Yeah, can we give the Lord a hand this morning? It's been a little while since I've been up here, so it all gets bottled up and it's all got to come out. But I'm trusting it'll come out in a good way this morning. Welcome to church this morning. Welcome to Central Life Church. I'm Anthony, one of the leaders here. I see a few faces that I've met before. I don't really know you great well, but I'm really keen to get to know you a bit more. This morning, it's Prop Sunday, and everybody said, "Yay!" Haven't done prop for a while, and I just felt God say, "Just do a prop." So Keith's really excited about it, and the prop's not coming out just yet, but the title of my message this morning is The Eagle and the Trapper, which is a really interesting title. And my dad, he was an Anglican minister back in Port Macquarie years ago, and instrumental with his beautiful wife, Dawn, just over here. And I was privileged to be involved in it back in the 70s, was the charismatic movement. Anybody remember the charismatic movement? Anyway, back in the 70s, and they were instrumental in the Anglican Church to bring the charismatic movement, a move of God, a move of the Holy Spirit. And it was a very interesting time, but in the Anglican Church. His title was a canon. He was called Canon Sid Welch. And so that makes me a son of a gun. And I wasn't born on one of those old ships underneath the gun. That's where that came from. And he was known as the kissing cannon. And every time church was finished, he was at the end at the door down there, and he would kiss every lady in the church as they would left. That's the way to grow your church. A holy kiss. Not saying I'm doing that today or any time in the future, but it was his hallmark. He just loved people. They loved people, and the church grew, and things happened. But his favourite all-time scripture was Isaiah 40:31. Which says, "But those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles, and they will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint." Now, I speak that over you today. If there was one thing I would love to see, is that we would all not just walk, but not just run, but we would fly. Our natural habitat, in fact, the eagle's natural habitat is to fly. It's not to sit or to stand or be on the ground. Its natural habitat, whenever you see an eagle, if you close your eyes, eagle, you see an eagle flying in the sky, up on the thermals. It's said that they're the king of the air. You know, we have the king of the jungle is the lion. The king of the air, I don't know what the king of the sea is, maybe it's a big whale or something, but the king of the sky is the eagle. It's said that eagles can fly up to 10,000 feet high. There are no other birds up there. They they've known, planes have been known to hit them because they've flown up that high. And that's their natural habitat, is to fly up high on the thermals above the circumstances of life. Who knows their circumstances of life? Who knows that God's really calling us to a much higher position than the circumstances of life? And that's really where it's at. He rules and reigns the sky, able to see 50 miles ahead. I'm lucky to see 2 inches ahead sometimes. I don't know about you, but I think I'm blind half the time, bumping into things and people and situations and stuff. But God's calling us to a much higher place, to see much further than what we can see. He's able to see his prey, but he's also able to see his enemy back at the nest, the snake climbing up the tree, trying to get the eggs. He can see that, but he can also see his prey at the same time. Fantastic. I want you to get this in your spirit this morning. I want you, if there was anything I want you to do, is to come out and fly. Would you do that this morning with me? Come out and fly. Now, the eagle also is not full of fear. It's the only bird that flies into a storm. In fact, he uses the storm's energy to go up and over the storm. So when the storms of life come, we are to face those storms with the power of God, not to duck and cower, but to fly above those storms. He has given us the ability to do that. Ephesians 2:6 says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus." That is our position. It's in the heavenly realms. Now, however you see heaven, fine. Up there, here, wherever you like. But he has seated us in the heavenly realms. In other words, it's in the spirit. It's not in the flesh. Romans 5:17 says, one man sinned. So I'm sort of taking a little chunk out. It's talking about Adam, the first Adam and Eve. One man sinned, and so death ruled all people because of that one man. But now, those people who accept God's full grace and the great gift of being made right with him will surely have true life and rule through the one man, Jesus Christ. We are called to rule and reign the heavenly realms. That is the picture that we are to aim at. If you're aiming at anything else, you need to start and turn around and start to aim at this. It's our default position. It's our natural habitat. When I play golf, the natural habitat of that golf ball is in the hole.
Eventually.
It's the least amount of strokes for that ball to be in that hole. It's natural habitat. On the 18th hole, I leave the golf ball in there. That's the only time I lose a golf ball. There's some disagreements there. But I prophesied over myself. I'm getting better and better. And so are you. You're getting better and better at what you do, what God's called you to do. What has he called you to do? It's time to come out. It's time to fly. You've had a bit of a walk. You've had a little bit of a go. But God's really calling us much, much, much higher than that. He's calling you into. He actually wants to get the wind of the Spirit underneath those wings that are just down here. It's now time to fly. There's lots more stories I can talk about the eagle. It's one of my favorite subjects. My dad just loved the eagles, but I want to talk about real life. Even the majestic eagle has an enemy. To think that we don't have an enemy is naive. I've heard some people say, you know, we don't have any of that anymore. It's just all grace and off we go. Come on, man. Like, have you ever been in ministry? Have you ever done anything? You'll soon know there's an enemy. You'll soon know there's something up against you. It doesn't take long. If you're actually moving towards where God's plan for your life is, you'll soon bump into it. Otherwise, you're going in the same direction. If you never bump into the enemy, you're going in the same direction as everybody else and everything else. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul's, I'm just taking a little snippet out. Paul's talking about forgiveness, talking about forgive your brother, and God then forgives them. And then there's this whole talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a powerful thing, amen? In order that Satan may not outwit us, for we are not aware of the devil's schemes. He's a schemer. He's a liar. He creates situations where perfectly just for you. It's just made just for you. My trap is different than your trap. I was talking about golf. I was on the golf course a number of years ago, and I'd hit this glorious shot off the tee, and what I thought was a great shot wasn't a great shot because it went over the hill and far away, over the hill, and it went off and just veered off into some of the trees off to the side, and I got over the hill and going, oh, where's my ball? Where is it? Oh, no, it's over here. Anyway, I confidently walked through the trees and straight into a spider web. I didn't see it. I was looking for the ball. And there it was, and I walked straight into the spider web. It was a big spider web, and the spider came and went straight up on my neck. Oh, I'm going, oh! Sometimes it's the most unseen things. Sometimes the trap is set and we don't even see it. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about how, there's a couple of things I want to talk about, but how to overcome those things. So the enemy sets a scheme. He's a schemer. It's this word, devices, against the Ephesians 6:11 says this: put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes or devices. And this word device means noe matter. It's a Greek word, noe matter, which means mind games or a deceived mind. If the enemy can play games with you, and often he does, he plays games in your mind. He uses your mind. And if you let it go long enough, it's like a bomb that goes off, and it can actually destroys everything that was where you were going. And if you believe that lie, if you believe the lie and listen to the lie and swallow the bait, it's like a bomb goes off and you're caught. It's like a fish on the hook. You're caught. If you believe the lie that you're ugly or hopeless or what others think about you, if you believe those lies, eventually those lies will affect you, and it will eventually kill you. In fact, you end up being deceived. So let's just take ugly. If you think you're ugly, if you look in the mirror every day and think ugly, and unfortunately some kids are being called ugly, and even at school or wherever, called ugly. And if you take that on board, it end up in deception, what's called deception. It actually becomes a stronghold, and that needs to break, because that's not the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Jesus is the truth. Truth is a person. And that person, that truth, the person can actually set you free from the ugliness and the things and those words that have been spoken over your life. So I don't want you to be imprisoned. I don't want you to be in deception. But every now and then, we do. Every now and then we do. Becomes a stronghold. We become trapped. And if you are going to catch, and it's prop time, and it's always hard to get everything from over there to here because there's so much going on in my mind. I'm playing this out already. I've already played it out before I say it, okay? So if you were going to trap an eagle, how would you do it? And it's the simple story of the eagle and the trapper. Now, I bought this down at Bunnings this morning, and I'll take it back, get a credit on it later. That's what you women do. I know you do that. You try a dress on, you go out for an evening, and then you take it back. Make sure you leave the tag on. And rock, a trap, eagle's territory. This is where, oh, come here, you, Ed the Eagle. Everyone say, hi, Ed. Ed is a majestic, beautiful eagle flying across the skies. He's learnt how to fly. His mother kicked him out of the nest a long time ago and caught him a few times before he hit the ground. That's what God does. You know, he wants us to fly. It's really important that we fly. And so Ed is this majestic eagle that flies across the skies, and this is his hunting ground. Now, the trapper has already set the trap long time ago, before this guy. The trap's always been there. That's really important to understand, because don't think the trap just turns up when you start to do something. The trap's always been there. It's a really interesting thought. So the first thing, I'll put Ed down for a moment. The way to catch, and I went down to the market and bought a fish. Oh, it's a bit slimy. Oh, wow, that is really slimy. Oof. Anyone got a tea towel? That's disgusting. This is a trout. No, you can't. I didn't count on doing this, but anyway. So what the trapper does with to catch an eagle, he set the trap long time ago, and all he does is throws the fish in the grass. And Ed the eagle, he's going, oh, wow, check out that fish. That looks really nice. And he's unaware of this. And he goes, oh, wow, swoops down, picks it up. Yum, 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 yum. Thank you, Julie. I knew you'd come out with a tea towel. And so I got the cleaner here already. And so this process goes on for a long time. Who knows that the enemy's cunning. And he lays the very trap out. Do you like fish die?
Not like that.
Oh. who's that guy? Who's the guy that kisses the fish? Rex Hunt. Rex Hunt. Yeah. This is for Rex. Anyway, so it's a fresh fish. It's okay, guys. It's not bad. So this process goes on day after day, day after day, week after week, month after month, and the trapper is just slowly bringing the fish closer, closer and closer, where Ed the eagle's just going, oh yeah, another feed, awesome, bang, takes the fish. Thanks for that. Oh, is that a wet one? Nice. Anyway, then the next stage of all of this is that there comes one day. Who knows what that day is? Don't know. There comes a day where the trapper says, it's time to put the fish in the trap. Ed the eagle comes down unsuspecting and the trap falls and he's caught in the trap. That's how you catch an eagle. Woo! Is there a tea towel? There, that's it. Awesome. Thank you, Julie. You got this a little bit on your face there. Oh, dear, oh, dear. The interesting thing about Ed the Eagle taking every one of these steps along the way, the very interesting thing is Ed forgot to catch his own food. He eventually just took it for granted. There's my meal. But that's not what he's called to do. He's actually a hunter. He's actually called to go and catch his own food. He forgot. And there's times where we forget who we are and we get caught in a trap. The enemy is not silly, he's cunning. We must be careful that one of the things I said to me, myself and I, because we have a discussion often, that I always want to stay sharp. I never want to become dull. I never want to be... I automatically live on the edge. My nature lives on the edge. I don't know whether it's me, myself or I that live on the edge, but it's one of those people that live right on the edge. Now, if you're not sharp, it's like a rock climber. If you haven't trained, if you haven't kept yourself fit, if you haven't done all the right things, you will slip and you'll fall as quick as that. And it's really important that we stay fishing after the food yourself. Don't take it for granted. Don't wait for us to bring you the word, or a YouTube to bring you the word, or a home group to bring you the word. You have to find it yourself. You have to. Otherwise, because the enemy is cunning. If you just amble along through life and you see it, I've done it, you just take the feed, go home, take the feed, go home, the enemy plays games with you. All of a sudden you're in a trap and you didn't even know. You're in a spider web and you don't even know. And so that's how you trap an eagle. And I don't want to go on for too long. The last part of this is how to escape the snare. You're caught. Oh, the fish is caught. Ed is caught in the trap. How does Ed get out of the trap? You may feel that you're trapped today. Well, I'm saying to you, there is a way out. I don't want to leave you there. It's probably not a bad feed, but you'll end up dying there. But I think one of the best ways of escape is the miracle is in your mouth. Not the food, not the fish. The miracle is in your mouth. It starts here. It starts with your confession. It starts with what you say. And then there's this great scripture. It says in Romans 10:8, the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, and that is the word of faith we are proclaiming. There is something about your confession. There is something about your belief. And when the two come together and it's mixed with faith, something happens. All of a sudden, these words that are in black and white here all of a sudden become real and tangible, and actually nutrients come and actually sustain you and lift you out of the trap. I love this scripture, Psalm 124:7. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I want to declare over you today that whatever snare, whatever trap you feel that you're in, it's broken. Yeah. It's broken over your life today. I want you to fly. Ed's natural habitat is to get on there, you is to fly. His natural habitat is to hunt, is to see long distances. Able to see over his shoulder the enemy, but also able to see his prey ahead. It's really important that you get this picture. Your natural habitat is in the heavenly realms. So let's come back to my dad's favourite scripture and we'll end there. Isaiah 40:31, but those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. There's two words there, wait and renew. And I want to open that up. In order for us to soar like an eagle, we have to wait and we have to renew. Now, the word wait is the Hebrew word quava, which means to bind together and to twist. It means to entwine yourself unto the Lord. So this word wait is more about entwining yourself with the Lord. And then it's like some examples like that would be ivy. Have you ever had ivy on a brick wall? Who knows, it's very hard to get off and it leaves its mark on the wall. The ivy was like it was one with the wall. It entwined itself with the wall, with the brick wall. And that's the picture. We need to entwine ourselves with the Lord. And then there's the second word, which is a renewal word, which is meaning exchanging, replacing your ability for his. So there's an entwining, but then there's also a renewing. An entwining and then a renewing. Who wants to be renewed today? Who wants the freshness, the newness of what I'm talking about here today? And so we could say it like this: those that entwine themselves unto the Lord shall exchange their ability for his. And that's what gets you out of the trap. Yes, it's in your mouth. Yes, it's in your heart. Yes, it's in your belief. But you've got to understand this is about a relationship with someone that's way bigger than you. If you don't know the God that I'm talking about this morning, his name's, and the way to connect is through Jesus. We know that. And so if you confess, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's really simple. It's really simple. You can end up having a relationship with God. And I remember back in the 70s when I was 12 with mum and dad in the charismatic movement, I was just a complete rebel. I was 12 years old and I was a complete rebel. I was doing all sorts of crazy things. But there was a moment, I think it was like God had a trap for me. Let's look at it the other way for a second. I think God keeps moving himself towards, trapping is probably not a great word, trapping you, but he's really after your heart. It's really after your heart, your will and your emotions. That's what he's after. He's after relationship. And many of us here have had that experience with God and could declare all amazing things of how God's been so good to me. If you come and talk to me, I've got heaps of stories to tell you about how good God has been to me and to my family and to people that I know. And so there's this exchange that takes place. My ability. I can do things. I've learnt to do things in my own ability. And I've been rewarded for those things. But there's nothing like exchanging your ability for his. Nothing compares. Nothing comes even close to the things and the rewards that I've had in life so far. I've got another 50 to go yet. And there's nothing in comparison to that exchange that took place. His righteousness for mine. His healing over my sickness. So the last part of this scripture, they will soar, not just fly, they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. I'm believing that God is ministering to our hearts today. I don't want this just to be another prop. Oh, there's Ant going with his props again. I'm trusting that God has spoken to you through this morning. However, whatever capacity, at the end of the day, we need to fly. That's the most important thing to me. And I know this church, I know it's part of our belief system. We want people to fly. It's really important. I don't want you to sit. Just come and sit and rest for a while, but eventually I'm going to kick you out of that nest in a nice sort of way. But it really is important because God has called us to fly. It's our natural habitat. I do want to minister this morning. If we could take this table away, that'd be great. Or just slide it away. That'd be awesome. You may feel trapped today. If that's you, I believe God wants to minister to your heart today. If you feel like another component of the eagle is that he molts. There comes a time where he swoops down and there's a whistle in the feathers and it alerts the prey that he's after because it's old feathers, it's old stuff. And what he does, he says, I'm not as effective, I'm dull, I need to be sharp. So what he does, he sits back in the cleft of the rock and he pulls those feathers out. And he waits upon the Lord. He entwines himself with the Lord. And there's a renewal process that takes place. And new feathers start to grow. And these new feathers start to overlap. And it becomes part of his wing and part of his being again. And then he starts to hunt again. And there's no in his wings. It's just pure. If you feel that's you this morning, where you feel like there's a molting process going on, or you feel like, hey, I've come to the end of myself and I feel like I don't know how to get rid of these feathers that are making this noise, but I know they shouldn't be there. I believe God wants to minister to that too. However he wants to minister this morning, the goal being, and hopefully I've encouraged you enough and been vulnerable enough myself that you would be vulnerable too with me and with God, that you would want to get yourself right. You might be flying. Fantastic. Help somebody else fly. You might have learnt how to walk and how to run. Well, and somebody hasn't learnt that. Help them. Help them run. Help them walk. But at the end of the day, we have to fly. Just close your eyes and we'll pray. Father, I thank you, God, this morning for your word this morning that it wouldn't return void, that it has gone much further than what we think in our heart today and in our mind. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to work on our heart and mind this morning. I'd love to, if you don't want to come out and be public about this morning, that's fine too. I would love to talk to you in privacy as well.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.